Investing Simplified is brought to you by Chuck Price, President and Wealth Manager of Price Financial Group Wealth Management Incorporated, a registered investment advisor firm and author of Investing Simplified, the book. Individual situations will vary, and the information on this show should only be relied upon when coordinated with individual professional advice. Other parties present on this broadcast are not affiliated with Price Financial Group Wealth Management Incorporated. Investing Simplified is the longest-running live financial show in America, with a financial advisor, an estate planning attorney, and a CPA to answer your questions for free, and is broadcast live from Portland, Oregon on affiliated stations throughout the Pacific Northwest. Chuck can be contacted by visiting www.pfgwm.com. You can email Chuck with a question at askchuck@pfgwm.com. Or you can call him right now at 503-417-9595. That's 503-417-9595. Or for our long distance and podcast listeners, you can call toll free at 877-733-1011. That's 877-733-1011. Now, here's the host of Investing Simplified, Chuck Price.
This is the opportunity for you to pick up the phone, give us a call, ask a question, and we're here to answer your questions. This is not a show like 99% of the other financial shows on the air, where for an hour they try to drill into your head to come see them, and only 10 will be allowed, of course, but we all know that's not true. Anyway, we allow everybody. If you got a question, pick up the phone, give us a call, 503-417-9595, toll-free 877-733-1011. And in studio with me is Kevin Stege with the Baker Hulson CPA firm.
Hello, Chuck.
We got you out of the cave getting all those taxes done, and I appreciate the fact you brought mine with you, so at least I'm ahead of the IRS game.
That's right. Yes.
No extension.
No extension.
Okay. Good job. I thank you very much.
Absolutely.
And listen, I got to tell you, if you run a business, you in today's age of taxes, I really think you got to have a tax professional. You got to have somebody you can count on to yell at and scream at and pay, but to try to help you get to pay the least amount of tax you got to pay. Would you agree, Kevin? I think you would.
That's right.
Yep. And so, you know, we're going to get right started, and we've got a couple of lines open up, so if you want to call and ask a question, otherwise you're going to hear me talking about the markets, and you may want to and you may not want to hear me talk about them, but the markets have been doing extremely well. However, I want to tell you about the interesting fact. We had a two-week period this year where the market actually dropped 10% in 2 weeks. It still has not quite recovered back to that high. We're still down as of Friday about 3.3% of the high that we hit this year, actually. Although we're up the year to date, we're still not back up to that high. And I got to tell you, volatility, I think, is going to be with us for a while. I don't see anything to slow it down. And so it's very, very volatile. We got a quick question here. Montgomery's got a question about taxes on Oregon College Fund. Are you there?
Yes.
Jan.
I put money into a college fund for grandson, and he's in college, so we drew funds out last fall, actually again in January. I was told from the college fund there will be no taxes on it, and I want to confirm that that's true, that I don't have to pay any taxes on the interest that accrued during that time.
Well, my understanding is as long as you're using it for higher education,
right,
and you're using it to pay for your grandson's higher education, there should be no taxes on it at all.
Okay. I just wanted to be sure because there's that interest that accumulated, and most of the time you have to put interest on your income.
Well, we got a CPA here, Kevin. How would you enter that?
That's not taxable.
It's not taxable, yeah, so you don't have to put it.
Yeah, it's just like a retirement account where the earnings accrue tax-free if you pull the money out and use it for higher education purposes. Or in starting in 2018, and this is actually part of one of my segments for later on, K through 12 expenses, you can even use it on now, but not for Oregon, and we'll talk about that. But yes, so that interest is not taxable. If you use it for a non-qualified purpose, then there's taxes and a little penalty.
Yeah, if you used to send him on a worldwide trip or something, then you couldn't write it off.
Yeah, no, it went directly
to the schools. Yeah. Basically, you'll get a form, a 1090-something, and it will tell you what the distributions were, and then it's up to you to say, yes, they were. You have to enter those distributions so it matches with the IRS, and then you say, yes, I used it for qualified education purposes, and it should show up as non-taxable on your tax return.
All righty. Yeah. Thank you very much.
Yeah, great question, Jan. Way to start the show off. That's the kind of thing that hopefully other listeners out there, that will be a good thing for, you know, some of you may have that on your mind too. And thanks to Jan, she asked the question. You know, Kevin, I'm kind of catching up because I've been gone the last few weeks, but I've got a question here. In 2019, this gentleman called in, sent in a text that he's going to be 70 and a half. He's got us taking RMDs of $85,000 per year, currently lives in Portland, can take 2019 in one lump sum by December 19th of 2019. By what month in 2018 or 19 does he have to move to Washington in order to not pay Oregon taxes on his IRA RMD?
Man, our listeners are right on topic with what I have brought to talk about in the tax investigator. Because,
well, do you want to hold that?
We will talk about domicile later. There was a court case that actually featured Oregonian moving to Washington, and we
Wow.
want to talk about that.
Well, folks, if you got people who are contemplating doing that you know in your life, you need to pick up the phone and tell them at the bottom of the hour they do not want to miss our tax investigator, because, you know, that's what you call a real big lead there, right?
That's right.
So, yeah. Well, listen, I'm going to get right back real quick here to the market, because I think there's some things going on. Here's the thing. If you are a skittish investor who does not like volatility, right now you need to be out of the markets, because we're going to have, I believe we're going to have a lot of volatility. And I think we're going to have a lot of volatility. And hopefully next week we're going to have either Harry Dent or Ronnie Johnson on the air and talk about the volatility in the markets and how they perceive. And I know what Harry's been talking about, because I've seen him on a couple of TV shows. And I also get a weekly video by being a member of his organization. But I got to tell you, there's a lot of volatility. And if you're skittish about the markets, this is where you have to do one of two things. Number one, you either have to have a strategy to combat volatility, or number two, you got to not look at it and say, okay, my strategy is going to work. I'm going to put it out of my mind, because I'm going to tell you what, if you watch that, and like I said, I think it was January 26th, we hit a high, and then we dropped down to a low by February 5th. The market was down over 10%. I think it was 10.3% in that two-week period of time. And so if you had $1 million, 10% of it disappeared in that less than two-week period. Now, that is volatility. It's a lot of volatility. So if you're susceptible to volatility and it causes you angst, then you need to have a different strategy. You know, and that's why, well, you know, we talk to clients about LifeLock, putting LifeLock on your programs. It's free. We help people put that on their 401ks or other investments, because there are things. Now, a lot of people with 401ks, we're able to go in and actually help them manage the 401k as well. So we can do that as well. But sometimes we can't. And if we can't, we'll tell you and say, hey, here's a strategy you can do, and here's what you need to be thinking about doing. And I'm not one, if depending on the age you are, if you're a young guy like Kevin here, you got time, you can take that volatility. In fact, you could take advantage of the volatility yourself by proportionately dividing up some of your money in your 401k in cash and have that ready for when we take a little dip. And look, folks, we've almost been straight up for the last 9 years. If you don't think there's going to be a pullback, you live in fantasy land. We're going to have a pullback. I can't tell you when. I can't tell you the day. My crystal ball didn't work. But I can tell you the markets have never went straight up for this amount of time. And we're in a very long-term bull market.
Well, I think that's adding to some of the volatility is, you know, over the last 4 or 5 years, Harry's obviously been a bit of a bear on his outlook, and probably for good reason. And there you maybe saw one or two other people, but you're starting to hear it from a lot of different sources now that it seems that we're ready. And I'm sure that's adding to the volatility.
Oh, yeah. There's a lot of economists that are saying, you know, hey, this just can't continue going up at the pace it's going up. And, of course, this last week we had some great unemployment numbers. We had some more people going back to work. We had a lot of good news, but I'm telling you, there's a lot of volatility. So if you're not aware of it, you need to be. But I'm going to tell you, the markets are really just now, as far as I'm concerned, coming back to where they should have been. If we go long term, and I would say long term, go back to the turn of the century, 12/31/99. What was the portfolio worth at that time, and where's it at today? Well, give you a little idea. Right now, as of Friday, yesterday, the S&P is up 4.23% year to date. Now, in 2 months, that's pretty darn good. The Dow is up 2.02%. So both of those are, you know, going at a double digit rate of return, which is kind of nice to see. But if you take the S&P and you go back to 12/31/99, the S&P is up 5.22% per year. That's an index that the 80 years prior was double digit. That, so if you really take a look at that, and the reason for that is people forget the tech bubble popped in 2000, not 2001. Everybody tries to relate it to 9/11, but they were two separate years. The tech bubble actually popped in March of 2000, not 2001. And for those who are keeping score, Bill Clinton was in office. But the tech bubble blew. And when the tech bubble blew, that set up the chain reaction for everything else. And then you had 9/11 come in and drop the hammer down as well. And those two things together gave us into a 5.5 to 7 year recovery. Was not pretty for investors, particularly people who were retiring in 2000. That was not a good thing. But if you go back and you look at the S&P again, 5.22%. If you go back and look at the NASDAQ, which is the high-tech stocks, you're talking about over that same period of time, 17 years, 2.25 months, that'd be back to the turn of the century, is up 4.99, less than 5%. That's not exciting. Remember, the majority of this growth has come since 2008.
But barring a triggering event, you know, a 9/11 type event, if we just look at the economy for the next year and where things are going, I mean, it seems like things are pretty good. Why other than profit taking, why would the market get hammered at 20, 30, 40% like some of these people are saying, other than like profit taking? You know, we know Harry's perspective of demographics has got to eventually kick in according to his perspective. But I mean, it seems
Harry's kind of looking a little prolific here, because in November, December, he was predicting we were going to have a somewhat of a little mini crash possibly in January. And boy, we did. Yeah. Right at the end of the month, we dropped a little over 10%. So, I mean, that's not a crash by any means, but 10% is 10%.
10%, yep.
Yeah. Listen, we've got a couple callers on the line, and I do want to, we're going to take a quick break, and we're going to come back. I've got a special guest on the line, and I'm going to introduce her when we come back. So hopefully you'll be calling back. But listen, if you've got a question, pick up the phone. Give us a call, 503-417-9595, toll-free 877-733-1011. We'll be right back with Investing Simplified.
Investing Simplified.
Hi, I'm Carl Jepsen, estate planning attorney and co-host of the radio program Investing Simplified. I recently left the Warren Allen Law Firm to open my own office. Professional and personable service have always been the hallmarks of my practice. I believe that this move will allow me to spend more time with my clients. For more than 37 years, it has been my privilege to assist clients with practical estate planning with wills, trusts, powers of attorney, advance directives, and other documents, so that they may have peace of mind knowing that their affairs are in order. When probate becomes necessary, emotions of family members may become fragile. Having an experienced attorney that can empathize with what the client is going through makes the process much easier. My new office is conveniently located at 555 Southeast 99th Avenue, Suite 101, just across from Mall 205, and my phone number is 971-229-0585. That's 971-229-0585.
What you don't know can hurt you. Get that investing question or that tax question answered. Call Chuck or Kevin now at 503-417-9595 or toll free at 877-733-1011. Now, here's Chuck Price and Kevin Stege.
Well, we're back with our special guest, and I want to introduce somebody to you from, looks like they're calling in today from Des Moines, Iowa, I believe. And it's Sherry McCants on our Investing in Your Health. Sherry, how you
Hello,
doing?
Hello, Chuck. I'm actually calling you from North Dakota.
Okay.
It's like 24 degrees here.
Well, listen, we have a caller on the line, so I want you to hold on. She's actually calling from Des Moines also, and it's Michelle. Oh. She's got a question about a 401k and an IRA. So, Michelle, you get the floor. Are you there?
Yes, I am. Boy, I was hoping to listen to Sherry, too, but I thought since you were taking some other questions, I'd ask quick. But I have a daughter who's in her early 20s, who just changed a job, went from having a 401k to now not having a 401k, so has a rollover. What suggestions as far as like an IRA to roll it in? What would be the best options, and does she need to look for a certain percentage? Or, I mean, are there different variances, credit union versus others?
And here's the idea I would ask you. How much does she have in the 401k?
Probably around 700.
Okay, very small amount. Then what I would recommend her to do is that small amount, I'd recommend her to roll that over into either a Fidelity or a Vanguard low-cost 401k. She could put that money in. She could talk to an advisor at either place, Fidelity or Vanguard, and get a long-term prospective investment and have her just put it in that and let it grow.
Okay.
Now you said 401k. You meant an IRA, right?
Right. She leaving her 401k is going to roll that into an IRA.
Yeah.
And it's very easy to do with both those companies. They'll help you do the paperwork.
Oh, the IRA at either Fidelity or Vanguard.
Correct. Okay. From the current 401k. Yeah. Do you know who the 401k is invested with? Is it with Fidelity or Vanguard?
No, I think it was like a Wells Fargo.
Okay. Yeah, well, you can just contact Vanguard or Fidelity, and they'll help you. They'll help her roll that over into an IRA with them.
Okay, sure.
Yep,
got it. Thank
Absolutely.
You very much.
Well, hang on, because we're going to have Sherry on the line as well. So you're welcome to listen to her today. So thank you very much for calling in, Sherry.
Yes.
What's going on? You're in freezing North Dakota.
Yes, I'm up here. I'm visiting my friend, Renita Brannon. We had her on the show, maybe a month ago. And I have to start out by telling you that I've already done a SkyFit exercise. And for all of those out there, listeners that don't know, if you have a Sky Zone in your area, a lot of times they have great instructors that do SkyFit exercise classes. And one thing I like to talk about is, you know, as a nutritionist, we want to get our exercise in. And, oh, my gosh, it was just so invigorating. I had so much fun. You just don't feel like you're working out because you're jumping on a trampoline for an hour.
Oh, wow. So, wow. This is a facility where you go into and jump on their trampoline.
Yes. So I know there's one in Vancouver. I believe it's called Sky Zone. And I don't know if they have certain classes, but this is called Sky Fit. So the class I took was HIT, and you just jump to an actual class. You know, they tell you exactly what to do. But, I mean, you know, your joints don't hurt or anything like that because you're just on a trampoline. So I think it's fun to let people know about different things out there for exercise. So,
yeah, I actually saw a video one time, I think, of you and your family doing that.
Yeah. Well, yeah, the kids love it. I mean, I know there's other things out there. I think G6 maybe out there or something in Vancouver. But this was my first actual class, so I had to tell the listeners that it is really fun. Go check it out. Usually your first time is free. And for people that, you know, have bad joints, it's really nice because it's a trampoline, so it's not going to be bad on your joints.
Yeah, jumping on a trampoline does not hurt your knees like walking 18 holes.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
I know you like to do the exercise.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
Well, yeah.
So, Sherry, what is happening in Sherry McCann's life?
Well, I'm so glad you asked. First of all, I don't know if you know this, but it has been 1 year that I've been on the radio periodically helping the listeners out there with understanding blood sugar. For those of that have been listening, I have a wonderful husband, Matt, and two adorable kids. One of my children, Reed, that is now 15, has type 1 diabetes, and so I feel that I want to educate anybody about understanding blood sugar and how it can help you with so many things, losing weight, with energy, you know, just understanding your food, making you feel the best that you can during the day. You know, getting your water in, understanding just exactly what you need to do. And I have been doing this for a year, and now, Chuck, I have moved away from the wonderful Pacific Northwest, and I am now in Overland Park, Kansas. And the reason why we did this move was I wanted to be closer to my family, which is Iowa, and that's the reason why you saw the 515 area code. And because I did this, I kind of wanted to talk today on the show about, you know, being in survival mode. And if you remember, I think again 3 weeks ago, we had Mark McDonald on the radio, and he's my mentor. He's the one that taught me how to teach blood sugar. He's been doing it since 1999, and it happened in my life. I was like, wow, this, you know, this survival mode, that really happens. And I know Kevin had talked about it with tax season, how he needed to go in survival mode. And just want to let the listeners know that, you know, food is what you want to first prepare, even when you're on vacation or, you know, moving or a special project. You know, get your food in check. And I know one of the things that Mark said that I would like to just reiterate, you know, if you don't have time to cook it, you know, use some other, you know, grocery stores now deliver. I mean, I didn't even know that. Did you know that, Chuck, that you can call a grocery store and they will deliver your food?
No, but I know Amazon and Walmart are both doing programs where eventually you're going to be able to pick up and call and have them do your shopping for you.
Yeah.
Bring it to your house. So, yeah.
Who calls anymore? Right. Don't we use the internet now?
I think, yeah. Oh, there you go. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Exactly. Right.
You could text them on your phone.
That's right.
Right. Yeah. So we had, you know, two cars traveling, you know, from Portland, Oregon to Overland Park, Kansas. And we had stayed in a lot of hotels. And we had, prior to our move, you know, we got a lot of hard-boiled eggs. We made sure we had eggs for our protein, because you just do not know what you're going to have when you go to your hotels, when you go to restaurants. It's just very hard. So we wanted to make sure I wanted to make sure I stayed on plan. You know, I made a lot of the muffins. I know you're very, very fond of the muffins. The banana egg white muffins are great. We got coolers. And really, Chuck, it just saves so much money when you do that.
And well, you know, Sherry, I can relate so well because I just came back from vacation. Each year I go down to spring training and for a little R&R to watch the Mariners in agony and defeat. But anyway, go down and watch the Mariners spring training, and my wife and I play golf and stay in Arizona, and we had a great time. But, well, I'll tell you, it's pretty tough if you're playing golf and you're going to a ball game to stay away from those beer dogs and the cup of beer and watching the baseball game and all the excitement and everything. And so it's tough to get off track. And one of the things I did when I tried to plan my meals, except I did plan around having a hot dog and a beer at a Mariner game, because you got to do that if you're a baseball fan.
Uh-huh. Absolutely.
But yep. I came back, and my plan was after I came back, I immediately started my detox. And I thought, hey, right. I'm gonna enjoy my trip. I'm gonna try to keep watch of what I eat, but when I get back, I'm gonna get back into the swing of things and do it, discipline and get back and do detox. And I think that's a perfect time coming off a trip, particularly if not if you're traveling like you are, but if you're vacationing like I did, where I'm gonna be at a place for 2 weeks and you're playing golf and you're running around doing stuff. We were getting exercise, but we weren't eating the way we would eat at home because you just can't. Even though we had a condominium and stuff and we could cook our own meals and stuff, you still tend to not because you're sightseeing and you're doing fun things. So you got to be determined to come back and get back into what you got to do.
And the best part, Chuck, for you is not you know what to do, and you can do that. And basically, when you're on vacation like that, that is just bloat. I mean, it's just bloat that you are going to be able to get rid of. You know how to do it. You're going to get back on track. You're going to eat every 3 hours. You're going to stabilize your blood sugar. And even when you had your hot dog or whatever you had at the Mariners game, or, you know, in 3 hours, if you got back on plan, you still are doing so much better than if you do not know how to stabilize your blood sugar.
Yeah, so. Absolutely. And one thing we did do is we packed our drinking powder in our suitcases.
Yeah,
we
shake.
Took it with us, and I started off every morning with a shake, and I ended every evening. And I found that for whatever reason, I think it's because you're balancing your blood sugar. I sleep so much better if I have a shake in the evening, hour and a half to 2 hours before I go to bed. I just sleep really well.
Yep. You should always have something that will balance your blood sugar, a portion of protein, fat, and carb, and then you'll stabilize your blood sugar during the night. You actually are burning fat during the night. Who wants to burn fat during the night? Yeah, right?
Absolutely. That's what you want to do. Yeah.
Yeah. So goes the myth of not eating after 6 o'clock or not eating after 7 o'clock, depending upon what time you go to bed. You want to eat within that hour, and you will. You will feel much better. You'll wake up much better, and you will wake up hungry. Because you want to break that fast. That's why it's called breakfast. And you want to eat within an hour of waking up to get that metabolism going. So many people, when I talk with them, they don't eat anything before they start their day. They get up and they either drink coffee and then they go to work and maybe they grab something out of the vending machine. You know, it's just they need to, within an hour of waking up, get that metabolism going, get some protein, fat, and carb in their body, and then every 3 hours from then, continue with protein, fat, and carb. And
Sherry, can you stay on the line with us for a while?
Yeah.
Okay,
sure.
Good, because I've got a gentleman that's holding on a call, and I want to talk to him because he has a very intriguing question here. And so I want you to hold, then we're going to take a break and come back with Kevin, but I want you to hear if people want to call in and ask a question of you. I'd like to be able to have them do that as well. But we've got Tom on the line, and it says he's from Savannah, Georgia. His company buys student loan and credit and debt, and are they taxable? So I'm a little confused about that, Tom, so can you kind of ask me that question?
Sure. Thanks for taking my call. My wife and I invest in a company that purchases defaulted credit card and student loan debt. They hold it for 90 days, turn it over to some telemarketers for try to get the people back online. And after 90 days, they then sell it at a higher rate to large law firms around the country. And the returns on this have been anywhere from 40 to 60% annually. Well, now that we're retired, we're starting to take distributions on this. And I was told that it's not taxable as long as your distributions do not exceed your principal. What do you think?
Well, I got a CPA here to answer that question for you. Kevin?
Not in my wheelhouse. I would need a lot more information and have to do some research on how your business is set up. Because this is a unique type of business, and I wouldn't have the foggiest idea to start with.
I would say anything that is a tax shelter like that, because that's what you're kind of describing, that you're going to get your principal back first and everything afterwards is taxable. I don't think that goes under the current tax code. So I don't know of anything that you can do that with. So I would definitely seek a since you're in Savannah, I'd definitely seek a CPA and a tax person to talk to about it. That doesn't represent the company. That's independent.
Okay, on your on another statement, not a question, but as far as vacationing, I would recommend a organized bicycling trip. Like there's several of them out there: Backroads, Butterfield and Robinson, Divine, Vermont Biking, and it's like a triathlon. You ride during the day. If you don't like it, you can get in a van and go back to the hotel, but then you eat and drink at night, and typically when we do these, we don't gain any weight, but we have a great time.
Yeah, I've got one of my clients does Bike Oregon, which is kind of a similar thing. They bike around Oregon, and it's a really cool deal because you go with a ton of other bike owners. It's a good deal.
Yeah, we're going to Italy next month and then Canada in August. And we've done a lot of European trips in and out, but they're a lot of fun.
Yeah, hey, Tom, how'd you find out about our show?
You know what? That's a great question. I was trying to find a talk show on iHeartRadio, and you guys came up, and I listened for about 10 minutes. It was very intriguing, very interesting. And both of you, you and your accountant have very good radio faces.
Well, thank you very much. We've been told that numerous times. So thank you very much. We appreciate the call. Absolutely.
So everybody out there, stay tuned and listen to these guests because they have some good things to say.
Hey, thank you very much. That's great. Well, listen, we're going to get right back, take a quick break, and come right back with the Tax Investigator. You're listening to Investing Simplified. If you got a question, you want to join the conversation, 503-417-9595, toll free 877-733-1011. We'll be right back with Investing Simplified.
Price Financial Group, wealth management.
Hello, this is Kevin Stege, shareholder with Baker & Colson Certified Public Accountants, serving the Portland and Southwest Washington areas for almost 40 years. We are a full-service accounting and consulting firm offering our services to a wide range of business and individual clients. One of the largest expenses to a household or a business is its tax burden. While off-the-shelf tax products can help file simple returns, they can't know your plans for the future and not only provide insight and planning to help you get there, but actually help you along the way. There are just some things that can't be replaced by experience. Whether you are just beginning your working career or have a well-established business with many employees, rely on the professionals at Baker & Colson to help in an efficient, accurate, and personalized manner. We're located at 2414 Northeast Division in Gresham and can be reached at our website at bakercolson.com or 503-666-5569. That's bakercolson.com, 503-666-5569. And remember, at Baker & Colson, our service is the product our clients remember most.
Do you have a tax question? Here's your opportunity to ask Kevin Stege, CPA and shareholder of the Baker Coulson CPA firm, that tax question that's been keeping you up at night. You can call Kevin 503-417-9595 or toll free at 877-733-1011. Now, here's the CPA with the tax answers, Kevin Stege.
Welcome back to Investing Simplified, and we do welcome your calls, 503-417-9595, 877-733-1011. And yes, I've been told I have a voice made for newspaper. A face made for radio and a voice made for newspaper. So, that's not good, I don't think.
I don't believe that, but that's,
Anyway, yeah. So, we appreciate that call from Tom, and that's a pretty detailed question. Definitely want to talk with people who know that exact situation, get the details from maybe the business accountant to know what the setup is like, because there's 100 different ways the setup could be, and then take it to your own independent accountant to just briefly review that and see if they have a second opinion on something that big with that amount of money that I think we're talking about, money well spent. So today on the Tax Investigator, I want to talk about three or four different things briefly. We won't go into enough detail where you'll know all the ins and outs, but if your situation fits this, then you'll know to look into this a little bit further. The first one we want to talk about is, and I wanted to talk about this over the last couple weeks, but we didn't get to it, but now we have. I want to talk about the new home mortgage interest deduction laws. And there's been some confusion over that on exactly what the new rules really mean. And I believe I have the answers on that. And so we'll delve into them right
now.
Stay
tuned.
That's right. Yeah. So under the 2017 laws, you are allowed to deduct your home mortgage interest on up to $1 million of acquisition debt, if you will, on your main home and your second home. And then an additional $100,000 on home equity interest, regardless of what the proceeds were used for. So that's the old laws. 1-1 of 18, the new law says, instead of that $1 million, we're going to, for new loans going forward, we're going to chop that million down to $750,000. So that affects some people right in that area. But know that your existing mortgages are grandfathered in for your acquisition mortgages, your first loans, so to speak. I do not believe the equity loans are grandfathered in. So if you have a loan that's at $800,000 to buy your house, going forward, you should still be fine if that's your only loan to take that interest deduction. But let's look at equity. This is where most people are going to be having to look at the rules, because I don't believe equity loans were grandfathered in, and they have a new set of rules for the equity loans. And I think I can simplify it for our listeners in three very easy steps. The first step is the loan secured by your home? This is the three rules whether your equity debt interest is going to be deductible. Is the loan secured by your home, a qualified residence? In other words, is it your principal residence or your second home? We're not talking a rental. We're not talking a business loan. We're talking a vacation home and your principal residence, or an investment home and your principal residence. Investment interest could be treated a little different. Usually we're talking a vacation home or maybe something you inherited from in your family to get that second home. So is it secured by the home? It has to be secured by the home. Most loans qualify for that, so that's not a problem. Second is, and this is kind of the bugaboo, is do the loans exceed the cost of your home? And if your equity loan exceeds the original purchase price of your home, then that interest is not deductible. That's the main new rule going forward. And then third is, are the proceeds used to substantially improve, construct, or acquire any qualified residence? And so you can't take an equity loan, go to Europe, and deduct that interest anymore. And I think this is going to be for any old equity loans also. So I think you need to go back and look at all of your equity loans. If they meet the three rules, you're good. The three rules, was the loan secured by the home? Most likely, yes. Did the debt exceed the original purchase price of the home combined with your original mortgage? And then third, were the proceeds used on the home or your second home? And I think where most people are going to kind of run into a thing, here's an example. You buy a home for $300,000. You pay $50,000 of it down over the course of a few years. You owe $250,000 on that home. You take out a $50,000 equity line of credit, or a second, or a refi, whatever. People have all sorts of names for it. Take out $50,000 and you use it to buy, improve your home or a second home, you're still good. If you take out $70,000, $20,000 of that's not. So I think that'll kind of give our listeners an idea of how that works.
Well, you know, Kevin, we got another caller on the line about educational funds, and it looks like it's Edie from is calling in and has got a question about saving money for grandchildren. Are you there, Edie?
Yes, I am.
Okay, and your question?
We don't have enough deductions at our age for a long form, and we've saved some money for our grandkids, not a lot, but when you times that times five, it's enough. And I wonder, do we have to pay taxes on the money that we gave them?
On the money that you gave them for, you just outright gave it to them for education, or you paid the educational institution directly?
No, we outright gave it to them.
Okay. And it was under $15,000 a year or $14,000 a year?
For them?
Yes.
Yes.
For each person. That's just, yeah. That's
a
just
good old gift.
That's just good. You said it was your kids or your grandkids?
Okay. Okay.
So, that's just good grandparenting.
Yeah.
Yeah, right. So there's no, we just have to pay taxes on what we gave them, right?
No taxes are owed by them receiving the gift, and no taxes are owed by you giving a gift under $15,000 per year starting in 2018. The only way you'd have to pay taxes is if you're pulling it out of a taxable account like an IRA to do this.
I don't know.
Okay. So this isn't even a reportable transaction. IRS doesn't even have to know about it on either side. There's no tax consequences to gifting under $15,000 per person per year.
Okay. Thank you very much.
You bet. And most importantly, it's not taxable to them.
That's right.
Great. Okay.
Yeah. Great question, Edie. Thank you.
Yeah. So just to take that one step further, some folks who do have taxable estate issues, that type of a thing, if you pay the educational institution directly, that I believe skirts the $15,000 a year reporting requirement. So that's, especially if you give more than that, I don't think you even have to report that. So that and medical expenses directly paid to the institutions are get a better treatment than just giving the money to the kids if you're in a taxable state, which
Speaking about that, and you brought up medical expenses, is it a legitimate medical expense if you need to be on a special diet or eating food? Do you get any tax break for doing that?
Not really. It would have to be a program specifically prescribed by a doctor, and I don't believe it's just going to be your daily meals. I think it would have to be something very specialized. That would be something you'd want to look at a little closer. If it's just reorganizing your diet, no. But if it's very specified prescription, then possibly yes. I mean, for example, here's a unique one I just ran across. Somebody got to deduct their clarinet and the cost of their clarinet lessons because they had, and I don't know the technical term, but a tooth inclusion or something, teeth inclusion, where their teeth were out of shape, but the clarinet would help normally in a low cost method, playing that, bring those teeth back into place. And so that was allowed. The IRS even agreed that that was allowed. So there are unique circumstances for ordinary costs, if you will. So I wanted to briefly talk about 529 accounts, Chuck. You're in my favorite. I know you're not too high on them. I think they're fine. It's a lot of hubbub, really, about nothing, if you will. And I know you have a perspective on the investment side of things, but real briefly, on the federal level, the new tax laws say that you can now use 529 accounts or qualified state tuition programs. That's another name for them. You can use the proceeds for K-12 expenses. That's on the federal level. The Oregon legislature stepped in and said, no, we don't want the best education for our kids, so we are not going to allow that at the Oregon level. So if you do it on the federal level, pull money out to pay for your kid to go to a private school, you're allowed to not pay taxes on that, but it will be in addition to your Oregon tax return. So that's something to note, a difference between federal and Oregon. And I know you're not overly high on the investment side of the five.
Well, I just don't like the fact they don't give you enough options.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're really pigeonholed, particularly in Oregon.
Mm-hmm. Well, and especially now, if you're planning to use this for K-12, you know, if you're talking about a sixth grader, you have a different investing time frame than paying for somebody going to state college. So there should be some differences there. One strategy I do see from some folks is they make the contribution to their 529 plan, say 2 weeks before they know they have to pay for their state tuition for their child. They make their contribution, leave it in there 2 weeks, they pull it out and they pay for it to the state institution. And you say, well, why would you do that for 2 weeks? You make, what, a few cents on it? Well, you still get the Oregon deduction at $4,600 at 9%. That is a $419 tax savings.
Nice return.
For 2 weeks. So
yeah.
That's not bad.
Well, speaking about returns, got a caller here. Jim is calling in, has a question about long-term capital gains. Jim, are you there?
Hi there. Yeah, we sold a home about 10 years ago, and we sold it on a contract, and I put the financing so low that I figured the guy would never, ever refinance. And anyway, you know, I lived through the Jimmy Carter years of 18-19% interest, and I financed it at 5% for the guy. And they've been really good, made all their payments and everything. Well, now they refied, and I'm going to have to declare it this year. And we pulled out about 100, and of that, when I factored in, you know, that fractional amount, or that decimal amount, we're going to have about probably 20,000 or something like that in long-term capital gain. Now, is that taxed at the same rate as our regular income, or is that, do they do that differently?
No, that's beautiful income. That that gets a maximum rate of 15%, and if your taxable income, are you married?
Yes.
If your taxable income as a married couple, after all your deductions, is under $75,000, then that, including that 20 grand, I don't know your situation, but you would even potentially be subject to 0%, which would be wonderful.
Free's a good price.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Wow, that would be wonderful. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, well, shoot. Yeah, see, the trouble is this shoots us way over 100,000 on our adjusted gross income. So I kind of dummied it up to, you know, a tax return up the other day. I got all the forms and everything. I kind of dummied it together myself, which, you know, I'm not a smart man. I'm going to have to bring it into you guys and have you figure it all out. So.
I see. Well, let me just ask one question. What do you think roughly would be your adjusted gross income? Are we talking $150,000 or $120,000?
I think it's, let's see here. I've got the paperwork right here.
Because
gets us to adjusted gross income going on to line 38 would be $144,335, including the long-term capital gain, which I had put it on the capital gain line, and that was okay. The capital gain actually was $36,661.
Mm-hmm.
So, including that gets us up to $144,000.
Yeah, you're probably looking at 15% federal, 9% Oregon.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah. All right. Well, I think I'll just bring in and have you guys figure all this mess out, because I know also it's going to, we're retired now, and it's going to mess up our Medicare. I think it's going to jack up the rate on our Medicare, at least temporarily.
It will. Unfortunately, yeah. those happen. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, real good. Well, thank you very much. I'm sure glad to have you guys as a resource to just kind of bounce things off of. So.
Thank you very much.
Yep. Have a great day.
Yep. We're going to take a quick break and come right back and wrap up the show and talk to Sherry and Kevin and myself, and we'll be right back with Investing Simplified.
Price Financial Group Wealth Management.
Are you concerned about your retirement income? Do you really understand how your Social Security benefits work? Price Financial Group Wealth Management has helped many seniors in Oregon and Washington maximize their Social Security benefits at retirement through using their Social Security seminar on demand. Now you can watch this valuable information in the comfort of your home by just going to www.pfgwm.com and click on the free Social Security kit. If you are serious about your retirement planning, you cannot afford to miss this opportunity. After all, you have invested your hard-earned dollars into Social Security all your working years. So shouldn't you get the maximum return you can get from those dollars? The future can be scary, and without a plan, it can be even scarier, especially when facing the unknown. What you don't know can hurt you. Get your free Social Security kit at pfgwm.com or call 503-253-3000.
What you don't know can hurt you. Get that investing question or that tax question answered. Call Chuck or Kevin now at 503-417-9595 or toll free at 877-733-1011. Now, here's Chuck Price and Kevin Stege.
Well, we're back to Investing Simplified. If you're going to call in, it's a little late because we got less than 2 minutes of airtime left. But keep those numbers handy and don't hesitate to call in next week. We'll be here live with a live show, and you can call us then. So write that number down and 503-417-9595. Toll free 877-733-1011. Hey, Sherry, how does somebody get a hold of you? Because they can still get a hold of you and work with you via Skype.
Absolutely.
And so how does somebody get a hold of you?
Okay. They can just simply go to my website. It's team, T-E-A-M, and there's a dash after that. Then Bliss, BLISS.com. teambliss.com, or you can email me at Sherry, and that's Shari, at team-bliss.com, and you can simply call me, 515-208-6312. Yes, the technology, I mean, we can do Zoom calls, call over the phone. I've helped anybody that would like to understand blood sugar and live their best life.
Well, I got to say also, Sherry also gives a recipe each week in our newsletter. So if you contact our office and you need to get our information, we can get it to you. Kevin, how does somebody get a hold of you?
I want to make one comment real quick to finalize on the 529 plans. You can't use distributions from your 529 plan to get the American Opportunity Credit. So if you want that credit, which is much more valuable, spend your first $4,000 yourself, get the credit if you qualify, and then do the 529. 503-666-5569, and we're on the web at baker-colson.com.
And Carl Jepson, who's usually on the air with us, taking a week off this week. Carl, attorney at law, is located at 555 Southeast 99th Avenue, Suite 101, Portland, Oregon, 97216. And you can call Carl at 971-229-0585. And you can reach me at pfgwm.com. I would recommend you go on my website, check out our information about IRAs, Social Security. There's a lot of information there. You can look there without having to sit through a seminar and learn for yourself. Join our show next week. We're going to have Harry Dent or Rodney Johnson on. We're going to be talking about the economy. And if you're concerned about the economy volatility, don't miss next Saturday. Chuck Price, Investing Simplified. Have a great week, and God bless you all.
We do Investing Simplified.
You can listen to past shows of Investing Simplified or sign up for our free newsletter at www.pfgwm.com. This show was brought to you by Price Financial Group Wealth Management Incorporated, a registered investment advisor firm located at 555 Southeast 99th Avenue, Suite 103, Portland, Oregon, 97216, 503-253-3000, or 877-50-PRICE. Investing Simplified is a registered trademark owned by Price Financial Group Wealth Management Incorporated.
Price Financial Group Wealth Management.
Navigating through today's financial investment world can seem pretty scary. Now, here's the good news. Chuck Price, president of Price Financial Group Wealth Management, introduces a new revolutionary concept that will change how you invest now and in the future. It's called Asset Lock. Asset Lock monitors your investment accounts 24/7, 365, and alerts you when action needs to be taken. You know, they don't call Chuck Price the financial doctor for nothing. And now, Chuck Price offers Asset Lock. At Price Financial Group Wealth Management, we believe all our clients deserve to have Asset Lock monitoring their accounts. So call Chuck today or online at pfgwm.com and learn how you can get Asset Lock on your accounts today for free. Price Financial Group Wealth Management, because the smart investor knows what you don't know can hurt you.
Do Investing Simplified.
Call 503-3000. That's 503-3000.